بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد respected elders and dear brothers in tonight's Taraweeh we commenced with and subsequently completed the sixth juz and in the first verse of the sixth juz continuing with Surah An-Nisa which we had commenced last night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the permissibility and the importance of condemning evil, even if it may result in the flaws or the weaknesses of some person being exposed. Generally, the ruling in Sharia is that as far as possible, a person should make every effort to conceal and to hide the faults and the flaws of others. And various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person who conceals the faults of a Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults on the day of Qiyamah. That person who overlooks and hides the weaknesses of someone, Allah will hide his weaknesses. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that it is permissible at times, especially when there is some oppression, some zulm taking place, to now highlight and to expose the faults of a person in order to avoid and to put an end to the zulm and oppression. And towards the end of the fifth juz, Allah spoke in great detail about the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, their attributes, their characteristics, and what is awaiting them in the hereafter. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ Allah speaks about the munafiqeen having the lowest level of the fire of Jahannam, which is the most severe in punishment. And after these verses were revealed, then there was a feeling of unease amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that how were the munafiqeen exposed in such a way? Whereas we have learned from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to conceal the flaws of others. So Allah then revealed this verse, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ That yes, generally, Allah does not like that any evil of any person be exposed, be disclosed to others. إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ But now comes the exception, the exclusion. Except for someone who is oppressed. When zulm takes place, now Allah permits this. There is absolutely no problem in exposing the fault of someone if it is to protect oneself from zulm. And we find many cases where a person is required to expose the evil of someone. Somebody comes to you for some mashwara, some consultation, that I want to do some business deal with some person, and you know that that person is a cheat, he is a liar, and he will do this person down, then not only is it permissible, but now it is absolutely necessary for you to disclose his faults to the person that sought your mashwara, sought your consultation. It is now your shari'i duty and obligation to expose the fault of that person, not because you want some harm to come to him, but because you want to protect this person from any harm. Likewise, we find at times a woman may be going, maybe in an abusive marriage. Her husband is physically assaulting her, abusing her. Now she does not have to think that we have learnt in the hadith, we have to conceal the faults of someone, and I cannot expose the faults of my husband. Here it will be perfectly permissible for her to expose his faults. Yes, ulama have explained that when a person himself is being harmed, some oppression is done to me, and I have the ability and the capacity to handle this and to tolerate it, then it will be better for me to just overlook and not to expose that person's fault. So while I do have the leeway to expose his fault, to retaliate, to perhaps take some revenge upon him, but it will definitely be better for me if the harm is restricted to myself and I am capable of bearing it, then it will be better for me to remain silent and not to expose this person. Incident is mentioned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was seated with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and there was a person that had come and started to insult Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said very nasty things to him, and he continued for a lengthy period of time. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu listened to this, he remained silent. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also remained silent. Finally, after some period of time had passed, and this person now kept quiet, and he said what he had to say, now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu retaliated, and he said something, and he mentioned some fault of that person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately woke up and went away. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu followed him, O Nabi of Allah, this person was insulting me, he said very harsh words to me, and you remained silent. But the moment I said something, you woke up and you went away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains that, O Abu Bakr, as long as you remain silent, then Allah had deputed an angel to respond on your behalf. But the moment you retaliated and you said something back to him, the angel left and shaitan now came. And it is not permissible for me or correct for me to sit in a place where shaitan is. Hence I woke up and I went away. So muhaddithin commenting on this hadith explain that while it was permissible for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to retaliate, it was completely within his right, he had the leeway to do so, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted him to come onto a higher level. And that was to tolerate the harm, to tolerate the insults, because this was restricted to himself and it did not extend to any other person. So this is the ruling with regard to exposing the faults of any person. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a few reasons which led to the Yahud and the Jews going astray, and particularly those reasons which caused them to be deprived in this world. If we look into the Sharia of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that initially there was a great amount of accommodation and leeway in their Sharia. Many, many things were permissible, were lawful for them, and they enjoyed many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as they began to indulge in these evils, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually tightened and restricted their Sharia upon them. So the reasons for this have been mentioned. The first reason Allah mentions, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا. It is because of the zulm and the oppression of the Jews. They were an oppressive nation. They would not fulfill the haqq, the rights of others. And whenever they had a chance to do someone down, they would do this. So this was the first reason. حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. We made unlawful for them those wholesome things which were at one stage lawful for them. So the first reason was their zulm. Secondly, Allah says, وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. Because they would excessively make an effort to hinder others from the path of Allah. So they were such a nation that when they went astray, they were not content with their own misguidance. But they made every effort to lead others astray as well. How you find in a group of friends, one person who is the rotten apple in the bunch, and when he has some bad idea, some evil plan, he wants to do some evil action, he's not content with just leaving the group and going, but he makes every effort to take everybody else along with him. So because of this, Allah deprived them in this worldly life. The third reason Allah mentions, and this is highlighted, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ. Because of their consumption of interest, whereas they had been prohibited from this. This was again one of the primary reasons that caused their deprivation in this world, their consumption of riba, of interest. Allah sent down wahi, tightening their sharia and the laws upon them. Ulama have explained that our sharia is now complete. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has left this world and the laws cannot be altered or changed. But when this ummah will engage in riba, will indulge in riba, and will not give it a second thought, then while the sharia cannot be changed, cannot be made tighter or more restricted, but Allah will deprive a person of barakah in his life. He may still outwardly have many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has a spacious home, he has a nice car, his business seems to be booming, but because of his consumption of interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause tightness within his life. There won't be any barakah, he won't have contentment, he won't have peace of mind, he won't have ease of heart because of interest, because of riba. وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And the fourth reason Allah mentions, because they used to consume the wealth of others unrightfully. They did not take care when it came to the wealth of others, whether it was amanat, trusts that were left with them, or whether it was the wealth of orphans that they were in charge of and they were taking care of. They would not take any caution and care in this regard. So these four reasons, their zulm, their oppression, their hindering others from the path of Allah, their indulging in riba, and them consuming the wealth of others, this was the reason that their sharia was tightened and made very difficult upon them. And then we completed with Suratul Nisa and we commenced with Suratul Ma'idah. Suratul Ma'idah, the word Al-Ma'idah in Arabic, refers to a table or a tablecloth that is laden with food. If the table does not have food on it, then it will not be called Ma'idah. But when the table is laden with food, different types of food, then it is called Al-Ma'idah. So this surah is named after the laden table. And this refers to an incident that had taken place in the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when his followers had asked him that, O Isa, and this will come later on towards the end of the surah, that, O Isa, Will you not ask Allah to send down a table from the sky for us? We want to get yaqeen, get conviction in the qudrat and the power and the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very lengthy incident which comes to the end of this surah. Nevertheless, the surah is named after this incident. But one more verse that I want to highlight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the importance, once again, as we mentioned last night, of justice and fairness in Islam. What had happened in the sixth year after Hijrah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had seen a dream that he is performing Umrah, and he prepared the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and with great excitement and vigor, they set off from Madinah Munawwara en route to Makkah Mukarrama. We know when they reached Makkah Mukarrama, the mushrikeen of Makkah did not allow them to enter and perform Umrah. And they were at a place called Hudaybiyah, and this is where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shaved his hair, and he slaughtered a camel, and he commanded the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to do the same, and to come out of Ihram and come back to Madinah Munawwara. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, and permission was then granted that you can come next year for Umrah. But because they had been stopped from going for Umrah, this was very difficult upon the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they wanted to take revenge upon the mushrikeen. A few months after this incident, while they were in Madinah Munawwara, there was a group of mushrikeen that had come from the east. They had no link and nothing to do with the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama. They were a separate group, separate tribe, and they had to bypass Madinah Munawwara in order to get to Makkah Mukarrama for their Umrah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they heard that this group, this caravan was coming, then they intended and they had this plan in their mind that because we were stopped from performing Umrah a few months back, the mushrikeen of Makkah stopped us, therefore we will now stop these people from going to Makkah. And in this way we will retaliate and get one back against the mushrikeen. So this ayat was then revealed that, O people of Iman, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَن صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَن تَعْتَدُوا. Your dislike and your anger and hatred that you have for a group of people, meaning the mushrikeen of Makkah, because they prohibited you, they hindered you from going to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, this feeling of dislike and hatred that you have for them, this should not spur you on to transgress against another group. The mushrikeen that were coming from the east, they did not cause any harm to you. So your dislike and your hatred that you have within you for one group should not cause you to act unjustly with another group. And here the lesson that we learn, my dear brothers, many a times we find a person has a long and hard day at work. He is in a mood of sorts. Perhaps things did not go right for him. The bills are piling up. The boss said something to him. He's in a bad mood and he comes home. And who does he take out his anger upon? Upon his wife and children. They deal with the worst of his akhlaq. At work he didn't say anything. Perhaps he was unable to say anything. He was unable to retaliate or respond to the person who had angered him. Or perhaps somebody cut him off on the road. Some random person, he doesn't even know who it is. And this puts him into a mood of sorts, and he comes home and he takes it out on the incorrect people. So here Allah is cautioning us that the anger that is within you, perhaps for a rightful reason, somebody harmed you, somebody oppressed you, but this anger should not be taken out in the incorrect place. You will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Yes, if you need to show your anger or take out your anger, and it is within your right, then you can do so in the correct avenue. The person who harmed you, then you can retaliate to the extent of harm that was caused to you. But you should not in any way take out this anger on somebody else, especially not on those who are close to you. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Allah now says that if you have to assist one another, now you are sitting together and planning, how are we going to hinder these people? If you have to sit and plan and intend anything, then sit and assist one another in righteousness, in taqwa, in Allah consciousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Don't assist one another in sin, in transgression. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Inculcate taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah cautions, remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah is severe in punishment. In other words, if you have to now display your anger like this, and your hatred in this way, then remember Allah's punishment awaits you. Allah protect us, give us correct understanding and tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.